We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. This week, I'm talking with Vince Staffolino, a player who has previously finished in sixth place overall twice in the FFPC and Football Guys Divisional Round Playoff Challenges. In this episode, we break down what to focus on and avoid in formulating your 2021-2022 FFPC Playoff Challenge Divisional Round lineups, what positions he wants for his Pro Football Championship representatives, which Ram to target if you want to fade Cooper Kupp, and much more. Before we get into the show, I do want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio2022. That's RVRADIO2022. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Now, without further ado, here is two-time FFPC Football Guys Divisional Round Playoff Challenge sixth-place finisher, Vince Staffolino. Heading into the Fantasy Football Players Championship Divisional Round Playoff Challenge this weekend, we are pleased to be joined on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown this week by a man who has finished sixth overall in this competition, not once, but twice, a familiar guest both on this program and the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, the one, the only, Vince Staffolino. Vince, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule and submitting these playoff lineups to talk a little shop with me, man.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Always a pleasure to speak to you on these two podcasts. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and it's good to have you. Just curious, so before we get started, how was 2021 overall for you for fantasy? Was it a good year, an average year, below average year? How was it for you?
A profitable year, but no big wins. So hopefully something happens with the playoff challenge from last week, and then hopefully this contest as well. Had a really close call with the NFFC cut line, one move away from the 100K, finishing the wild card bracket winner for 3K, which is nice, but. If I would have played Sony Michel over James Robinson a couple weeks into the playoffs there, I would have won it. So it's a tough pill to swallow, as always.
Yeah, and that is, and that stinks. I mean, it's always good to be in that situation where where you're one move or two moves away. Had you seriously considered Michelle over Robinson in those 2 weeks, or was it because, you know, people always talk about, oh, if I only would have started this guy over this guy. Yeah. Well, how seriously were you looking at starting that guy over that guy? How seriously were you looking at starting Michelle over Robinson? Was it something you mulled over for a while?
Well, Robinson was playing against the Jets, right? A great matchup. And I had been burned by not using Sony and some FFPC teams. And I had him on the bench all year and I just couldn't pull the trigger. And I really regret that I didn't have the courage to do that. So can I really say that I would have played him? No, but with the injury, it's frustrating too, because I really only needed 11 points from him, from J-Rob, which is achievable, right, if he plays a whole game. So it is what it is,
but it was a profitable year. So now you have funds to stock up and not only crush it next year, but maybe in the playoff challenge that went off this past weekend, or maybe the divisional challenge that goes off this weekend. And you've obviously been very close here with this before, finishing sixth overall twice. Is there a secret that you can share? Is there a process, a part of your process that you don't think a lot of people are doing that you could share with us tonight that maybe not a lot of people are doing, or maybe the reason that you have had the leg up on the competition a few times in this contest?
Yeah, you know, Eric, at this level of competition, there really aren't any secrets. I think that the key to my success, it has been basically a mix of chalk and then a couple differentiators. And I really try to conjure up the narrative that I think is going to happen, and hopefully I nail it and have it play out the way I draw it up.
So let's get into to the nuts and bolts of this. You talk about conjuring up the narrative. Does that mean, Vince, before you're submitting lineups, before you're, you know, finalizing everything, are you putting together a bracket of the NFL playoffs and how you think? And I'll preface this by saying that I talked with Steven Rannigan on this program last week, who won the 500K last year. And I said, well, are you filling out a bracket, you know, and figuring out, okay, these are the teams I think are going to, you know, win, and these are the teams are going to be in the Super Bowl, and then he'll pick players off that. He said he doesn't do that. It's all on feel. Is that similar for you, where you just go off feel, where you kind of like, okay, I think this guy is going to be the player to own off this team here because I think they're going to go there? Or do you actually physically fill out a scientific bracket beforehand and then pick players off that?
I'll do a primary bracket where I really feel like this is how it will play out, and then a couple secondaries, like if not A, then B, right? And I think the feel aspect of it really has to come into play for those one-and-done type players, like a Kendrick Bourne from this past weekend. Whoever started him and got 28, and then the Patriots lose. I mean, you can't think of a better scenario if you need all those players that are going to carry you all the way through the Super Bowl.
Do you who were some, like, okay, so I know you filled up multiple entries in the FFPC Playoff Challenge last week. Who were some of those, you know, quote unquote dart throws? Who were the Kendrick Bournes on your roster this past week that maybe aren't moving on, but you're happy you had them in there? Who are the wild cards that you chose?
Unfortunately, I didn't play Kendrick Bourne. I had Christian Kirk in, and Deontay Johnson. So decent production. Not up into the 20-point range, which would have been awesome, but 14, I think, for Deontay, and 13-ish for Kirk, I believe. So that's not bad.
We're going to be playing more than one entry here that are listening to this podcast. Are there certain pitfalls? Are there certain things that people play in this contest every year that they fall prone to that really hinder their ability to win the six-figure grand prize? Are there any tips that you can give on stuff to avoid when you're filling out these lineups?
I think that if someone's trying to cover all the bases and have every possible combination and pretty much playing too many teams, I think at some point there's diminishing returns, right? I think play a nice amount where you can go with some different scenarios and stick to your narrative, have some conviction about what you think is going to happen, and then try to have a couple of those Kendrick Bourne types that you hit on.
When you say that you can play too many teams, is it because you think there's too many similarities when you get that many rosters?
Yeah, I think it just becomes mental gymnastics too. You've got an Excel file out and, you know, all these columns and rows and different combinations, and it's not fun. Seriously, I know you guys want to sell. You always sell out, so it's not a problem. And I know you want someone like myself to buy as many teams as possible, but you know, I'll share some teams with some folks, then also do my own, and I'll try to limit it to a pretty good number.
And that's fine. Like, you know, and I don't want to make it seem like you have. I mean, we have been doing so many shows, We always do on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour at the end of every season. We always talk about bringing on the winners, you know, the teams that won $500,000 or $100,000 or whatever. And the last couple of years, Vincent, and I don't know if you've noticed this, it sure seems that we have a lot of single entry six figure winners, you know? Yeah. So obviously, yeah, it's good. If you're going to play in the contest, I always say, well, you know, if you fire multiple bullets at it, it's, you obviously have a much better chance of winning, but it seems like we've had some single entry, like the guys who won the Football Guys Players Championship this year. Not only was it their only team this year, but it was one of the owners' only team ever that he's ever played in, you know? So I don't want to make it seem like you have to own multiple teams, but I think playing multiple teams in this contest opens yourself up to a lot of other possibilities that single entry teams cannot do. You can have like a quote unquote chalk lineup. You can have a long shot lineup. You can have a mixture of them. I think it opens up a lot of different ways to play this and ultimately a lot of different ways to win it when you have multiple entries as opposed to a single entry, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in my mind, for the Packers this year, Adams is the way to go, right? So every team that I play is going to have Adams, but then I can do some creative things with other teams, right? I can have some Mahomes teams, some Allen teams, just in case Buffalo gets by Kansas City this week. Maybe a Burrow or two. I'm not too confident about that. But yeah, you're right. You definitely need to open up possibilities. You know, one thing back to the winners, the Go Bills team in the main event, weren't they only four entries?
You know, it was weird because it was three guys. It was Dom Barani, Nick Costantino, and Sean Stutzman who won it. And I think Dom might have had, like, he might have had a couple of entries that were just him, or one entry that was just him, and then Nick might have had one. So, like, but I think this is the only one that all three of them owned together. I could be wrong on that.
Okay.
We had him on the show in, I want to say, like, mid-November when they were leading the whole thing, coming up on the end of the regular season. And they said, I'd have to go back and listen to it. But I do know that, you know, their entries paled in comparison to a lot of other volume players who also did very well in the contest, but ultimately didn't get to the $500,000 grand prize. You mentioned Devontae Adams being your Packer this year. Are there any of the other eight teams still alive in the NFL playoffs? Are there any of them that you will be going with? I'm going to go with this player on this team on all my entries, or is it just the Packers with Adams?
Cooper Kupp, for sure. I know that's so obvious, but I just don't see how you can't plug him in every lineup. And then also AJ Brown.
Mm.
I feel like they're going to win. I'm pretty confident in that. And then obviously losing, nothing's for sure, right? But I think they'll lose in the AFC Championship game. But I just see him being healthy, and I see him having just a high, high target volume. And he's the kind of guy that can win the game for them. And I'm really not sure about Henry. I don't know what we're going to get out of him. Is he rested? Is he ready to go? Is he going to be victim of possible negative game script if Chase and Higgins have some big plays and they get out in front? So I would really just be comfortable with sticking with Brown in every lineup I play for this contest here. In the main one, no, because there's more spots. But when it's tightened up and the margins are tighter like this with only eight spots, I'm going Brown in every one.
So that's three players, Adams, Kupp, Brown, that you said will be on all your teams. And obviously that takes care of two of your wide receiver positions and one of your flexes. That's the core? Those three guys are the core you're building around for every entry?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I want to get back to the Bengals and Titans in a little bit. Before we get there, let's extrapolate this out a little bit and take me to the Pro Football Championship, the AFC versus the NFC, the Super Bowl. Do you have when we get to that point, do you have a preferred position for your two representatives? I know there are a lot of people out there who would say, well, you want a quarterback and a running back, or you want a quarterback and receiver, or a tight end and a quarterback, you know. Do you have a preference on the two positions, if you had your druthers, Vince, that you want to have going in the Super Bowl this year for this competition?
Well, for this year, based on what I kind of already laid out for you, definitely quarterback and receiver. the receiver being Adams and the
quarterback. Does that switch from year to year, though?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
sure.
Okay.
I feel like this is, I know you'll like to hear this, but I feel like this is the year that the Packers get there playing.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
And it's Adams, right? And then Mahomes or Allen in that quarterback position.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So you could have, so obviously one of those, so you won't have Rodgers, Stafford, or Tannehill, obviously. So then it'd be a matter of Adams and Allen, or Adams and Mahomes, or Brown and what, Brady?
That, I think that one probably has the lowest probability.
Right, yeah. Titans and Bucks Super Bowl, baby. It's going to happen. I totally get where you're coming from there. This competition, you already alluded to the differences between the World Famous FFPC Playoff Challenge that includes Wildcard Weekend, and then obviously the Divisional Challenge that is just the eight teams this weekend. Knowing that it is a tighter lineup, 8 versus 12, and knowing that there's no kickers and defenses in the divisional round, where you do have to figure out your kicker and your defense in the original version of this competition, is the divisional challenge harder or easier for you than the actual original one?
I think it's definitely harder from the perspective you don't have as much to differentiate with those four less roster spots, and then you lose that variance with the kickers and the defenses. I think Carlson had, 15 points? Is that right? Last week?
Yep.
15
yep.
And some change. So I have in the main FFPC playoff challenge, Carlson on a team. That team's 92nd overall. I played him. I played the Patriots defense. They put up a zero. But you combine those two one-and-done type positions that you want to get out of the way – they're 7.5 each. So I'll take that going into this divisional round, being 17 points back from the leader.
Right.
With exactly. Eight players, right? With eight players in the positions all still going for me. I think that's a good spot to be in.
It definitely is. No question. Let's talk about some of the players in both competitions. Deebo Samuel, Elijah Mitchell. They did the heavy lifting for the Niners against the Cowboys last week. Would you rather play one of those guys in this divisional playoff challenge? Samuel has been among the best receivers in pro football all year as far as fantasy goes. Elijah Mitchell, who's really come on here. Or would you rather go with George Kittle, knowing two things, that when George Kittle is healthy, he is one of the best tight ends in the game. And two, the Packers have really struggled on shutting down or at least even slowing down tight ends this year. Samuel, Mitchell, Kittle, what do you think about the Niners, Vince?
I really never get Kittle right. He's so frustrating to me. I know his numbers look great and his overall positional ranking looks great, but it seems like I don't know which weeks he's going to go off and do well. With that being said, great point about the Packers' struggles with the tight end. But for me, it's going to be Deebo. I just feel like it's a better setup for him. And just in general, I'm excited about him because he seems like he's turned that injury corner. Remember when Keenan Allen years ago seemed to be injury prone and then he just stayed healthy and just produced and just has become phenomenal. I think that's where Deebo is now. And he's even doing it with carrying the ball so much out of the backfield, which is kind of scary. But I'm going to avoid Kittle. Case. I mean, maybe one or two lineups just to be sure, but Deebo definitely for me this week.
I know I wanted to focus on the divisional playoff challenge with you here, Vince, but you're obviously a seasoned season-long player here, and I do want to get into just if we can go inside the Staffolino crystal ball here just for a minute and look ahead to 2022 draft, which, by the way, we'll be starting in 5 days here at myffpc.com. You'll be able to start drafting for 2022 starting then. I do want to bring this up. Deebo Samuel, you were talking about him and how much you love him in this challenge. He went off this past year in the main event and the final weekend, wide receiver 36, in the at the 708 spot, according to fantasymojo.com. Darren Armani does a great job with that.
Yep.
Where do you think he goes in 2022, knowing he was, you know, essentially a top five receiver on a points per game basis when he was healthy? He's not a first rounder, but where does he go, Vince?
I would say at this point, late second, maybe in the, you know, 2022 range overall. I don't see him slipping past 3-1, 3-2. And I think you have to take him there. If this is really, you know, the new Debo, or Debo settling into who he's going to be, he's going to have a nice 4 or 5 year run producing like this. So it's finding the next Debo in the 7th or the 8th round next year. That's going to be, you know, obviously what we're all trying to do every year.
Can't wait to see all those teams that get the 101 pick and go Jonathan Taylor, Debo Samuel with their first two picks. And the 101 and the 212. That's what we love about fantasy football, is this thing gets flipped on its ear every single year. Fun stuff to talk about.
I can't tell you how many times I've just been driving in the car or sitting staring off into the distance thinking, why didn't I just take Taylor in every back end draft, back end of the first round draft? Why did
I remember when he started slipping too, like towards like the last few weeks of draft season, he was slipping to like sometimes the mid second, and there wasn't really any good reason for that. And people who were taking him there just were cleaning up, and there was, and this year too. I mean, like, you think about the, you know, we always talk about league winners. Think about all the league winners there were this year. Taylor, we just talked about Mark Andrews, who was not even like, you know, like he was like the 4th tight end off the board. You could have had him, you know, no matter where you drafted from. Debo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, who was like, you know, whatever he was, like a 4th round pick.
I'm on
Ross St. Brown. You know, it was just an embarrassment of like, and it's so funny too, because I talk with people like you who I believe are the experts of fantasy football, guys that are putting up and women that are putting up serious money of their own cash to play at the highest level. And even those people get it wrong from year to year, myself included. You know, how did we let all these guys slip? And it happens year after year. And I'll make a hot take right now. It's going to happen again next year too. We're going to whiff on some of these guys. We're going to draft guys where they shouldn't be going. We're going to take advantage of guys, you know, slipping. It's so crazy to think about from year to year on that. And I think it's so, I mean, Hunter Renfrow and Amon-Ra St. Brown, these guys were afterthoughts this year, and people are going to be clawing, you know, each other to try to climb up draft boards to make sure they get them before anybody else does. Right.
For sure. It's something that, it's fun. It's fun to look back. You don't see it when you're going through it. And I always think about the Brad Evans show in series, Fade the Noise, right?
Yeah.
Y'all need to fade the noise. I listen to you and Farrell every Friday night. I listen to other podcasts that I enjoy, and I'm taking in all this information, and it does create this internal noise in your head, and you've got to fade it out and look at reality, look at your gut, look at data, whatever. And it's not easy. This is not a perfect science for sure, but I do love it.
Yeah, and even like when I'm building up the content for these shows, not to get, you know, meta here or whatever, but when I'm like, I will bring up stuff that sometimes I don't believe in, but I think it's worth bringing up because I think it's worth discussing. And this is something I've learned over the years too, and it's something that really hindered me, and it might help people in the divisional playoff challenge too, since this is kind of a one-off contest where you submit your lineup and then that's it. My first few years playing high stakes fantasy football, I was so arrogant that I would only look for people who already like confirmation bias, right? Like I had thoughts on certain players and strategies, and I tuned you out if you disagreed with me. And if you didn't have the same thought process as me, I had no use for you. I wasn't going to learn anything from you. I just tuned. And now I feel like over the last, you know, 10 years, 9 or 10 years, I feel like the people that disagree with me in my thought process, or the people that I disagree with, Vince, those are the people I want to listen to more. Those are the people I want to read about more, because I already know why I think what I think. Now I want to figure out the opposing view, right? And try, and then really fleshing out and trying to find out, well, what is going to be best for fantasy football? And I don't want to live in my own echo chamber anymore. And I feel like I've been more successful since I've gotten out of that.
Yeah, you've just described becoming a mature player using wisdom and counterpoints versus being arrogant.
And it only took a decade and a half. That's all it took for me.
No, instead of going out and looking to validate your thoughts with content, you're using that content to be more analytical and to question what you've been thinking from Tuesday to Thursday, right?
So yes. No, that's good to bring up because I think it's something that we all need to hear from time to time. Even when we believe it, we need to be reminded of it. You kind of, like, getting back to the player analysis of this competition, you already alluded to Cup is your Rams player on your lineups. Did Cam Akers, did Odell Beckham, did you seriously consider them in anything, or is the upside with Cooper Cup just simply too powerful to deny?
This year, definitely too powerful to deny, a special year. And you know, when I was thinking about Beckham, I thought, well, it could be Van Jefferson. It could be Higbee. It could be a Sony game. And I felt like no matter what happens with those players I just named, Cup is going to have his. The range of outcomes, maybe 15 points to 32 points, right? I'll take that. I'll just take that and move on to the next spot.
We talked about the Titans and the Bengals earlier. I think as far as being an NFL fan goes, this might be the matchup I'm least excited about. But it's also exciting building lineups for this contest for people who are participating, because I think that there is, and I said this about the original playoff challenge too, so many different ways to go. Burrow, Mixon, Boyd, Chase, Higgins, even Uzuma, who had a pretty good game in the wild card game. There's a lot of different ways you can go with the Bengals here, Vince. Is this one of the teams that you're diversifying here and trying to take your hand at several different Cincinnati players?
For sure. Absolutely. And I think the best approach, or the approach for me at least, is to go Chase on 50% of my teams and then kind of scale it down from there, 30% Mixon, 20% Higgins. I would say Uzuma is maybe one of those extreme differentiators for this week, but I can't see doing that. So I'd say half Chase and then Mixon and then some Higgins.
Vince, just as an aside here, because I think there's a correlation here that we'll get into. Are you a college basketball fan? Do you follow the March Madness tournament, the men's basketball tournament in March?
You know what? I used to, but having a busy career and now 6-year-old son, especially at my old age of 50, I only have the bandwidth for NFL and fantasy.
Okay. All right.
I'm really not even watching college football. I catch up on all the rookies and everything right before we have our rookie drafts and getting ready for the combine and all that. So can't say that I don't watch that.
And that's totally fine. I'm just kind of curious, when you did follow it back in the day, were you filling out, like, you know, a ton of brackets for office pools and so on and so forth?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. That was something I looked forward to every year.
And so when you did, you filled out multiples, right? It wasn't just, you didn't have a bracket of integrity or anything like that?
When I got older, maybe into my 20s, yes. But back in the 80s, we only did one bracket.
Okay. All right.
All you had was one sheet.
So when you were, I'm just thinking when you're talking about your Bengals here, where you're having, you know, 50% Chase and 20-25%, whatever it was, with Mixon and then some Higgins. Do you find, like, is there a correlation here between how you would fill out an NCAA bracket where you have, okay, well, I'm going to have, you know, 25% of my brackets, I'm going to have Duke in the championship game. 50% of my brackets, I'm going to have Kentucky in the Final Four. Is there a little correlation as far as game theory goes in filling out an NCAA bracket to a competition like this?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially, like I said before, if you're sticking with that narrative that you believe in and your core players, then that's where you – and if you're pretty confident Cincinnati's going to lose too, what's going to happen in that game? Is it going to be possibly that Higgins game? And everybody was on Chase, right? Huge difference maker.
Okay. So I don't know if we already answered this question when we talked about the Bengals, but if you're trying to win $100,000 in this, what's the team you got to get right? What's the toughest team for you to figure out here of getting the right player on?
I alluded to it earlier, and that's Tennessee. they've had a week off, and I don't believe they're a true number one seed.
Yeah.
I just don't feel that about them. I felt like, pretender maybe is a strong word, because these men are out there busting their humps and their coach is just so solid and they're there. They achieved it, but I don't trust them. And Henry, going back to that too, is he back? Is game script going to be negative? Is Foreman still going to have a role? He's looked great. He's been really exciting to watch this year. Him taking over a couple games, going over 100 yards, getting in the end zone a time or two. So that's just such a tough one for me. That's why I feel like A.J. Brown, alpha receiver, looking pretty healthy and strong lately, just lock him in and move on.
This is another 2022 question. Now that you brought up Foreman, it used to be if you tore your Achilles, that was it for your NFL career. Deontay Foreman tore his Achilles, and he's showing that he's still got juice. And in fact, when Henry was hurt, he looked like the best running back in that Tennessee backfield. Does that give you more of a willingness now that you've seen Cam Akers come back from this injury this season yet? And again, 40-yard catch the other night looked pretty good. Does that give you more of a feeling like, you know what, I can kind of select Cam Akers in the early rounds next year because of what I'm seeing here and what I'm seeing that Foreman already accomplished with a similar injury?
For sure. For the right value, especially in early drafts, if I was doing a draft in April, I'm looking for Akers at a value. But yeah, he did look great. He looked quick. I think about James Robinson too, same injury. Where is he going to be when the later drafts roll around? What's going to be happening in Jacksonville with the new regime and Travis Etienne? So yeah, the injury isn't what it used to be, it seems like, and that's great for these guys that can still have a career after suffering something that was once so devastating.
Can you tell me, final question for you tonight here, Vince, as you've been very gracious with your time, I certainly appreciate it. Can you tell me one player in the divisional challenge that you think is going to be overowned, a guy you're going to stay away from? Maybe Derrick Henry, as you already said. And then a sleeper that you think not a lot of people will have that really could help players win that $100,000 grand prize in the playoff challenge too from the FFPC this season, man.
I would put Henry at 1B and Tyreek Hill at 1A. I think
Tyreek Hill, yeah.
The heel, I don't know what's going on with that. It just doesn't seem like he is a big part of the game plan right now. Now watch, I could be totally wrong and he has two long touchdowns next week, but I'm not feeling it. It seems like Mahomes is just running a different offense now and he just doesn't fit. And there's so much Pringle and Robinson.
Mecole Hardman.
Obviously, yeah, Hardman too. Yeah, it's just, I'd rather not. So I think that the name, the brand value there is going to have him clicked into a many, many, many lineups, hundreds of lineups, but not mine. So that's my player there. And then, yeah, this is a pretty crazy thought, but my sleeper, and is there really a sleeper at this point too, right?
Well, you tell me. We're about to find out together here, Vince.
Who's Jerry McKinnon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he looks great, doesn't he?
I mean, yeah, he does.
He could be the hot hand. Every year, there seems to be this hot hand running back that pops up, whether it's in week 16 or early in the playoffs, and he could be the guy this year.
It always seems like it's a chief too, right? In the regular season of, this is probably like more than a half decade ago, but remember Jamal Charles on that run that he came on out of nowhere in the championship round in the FFPC. Then, Darrell Williams has had his several moments in the sun. He's almost sunburnt from all the moments he's had in the sun. Damian Williams also is another one. That's another great call. And then now maybe 2022, the year of McKinnon. We thought it was going to happen in Minnesota. We thought it was going to happen in San Francisco. Nobody thought it was going to happen in Kansas City. So, of course, maybe it'll happen in Kansas City this year. If you do want to compete against Vince Staffolino and the rest of the FFPC guys in the FFPC Playoff Challenge number 2 divisional round, make sure you're going to myffpc.com and registering for it there. If this is your first time ever playing with the FFPC, don't go to that website. Go to myffpc.com/Eric and you'll get $25 off your first entry. So if you want to play in that competition or maybe the Football Guys Playoff Challenge too, that's only $35. You can still win $25,000 there. Instead of paying $35, you only pay $10 for that competition. So certainly a good chance at life-changing money if you've never played it before. And Vince, if I've learned anything, if there is a odds-on favorite this year to finish in sixth place, certainly you're at minus 200 or minus 300 for that right now. But I wish you, I hope you finish off strong this year and you cash $100,000 or maybe the $500,000 in the playoff challenge you already registered for. It is always a pleasure talking to you. Best of luck to you this season, and we'll do this again real soon.
Sounds great, Eric. And I'll see you down in Kentucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to be drafting live again, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
It reminds me, I got to book my hotel and my flight out there. I'm going to do that right after the program this evening. Thank you for reminding me, and I will see you in Louisville.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think. And follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.